is now in session.
This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. You can also go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and email me there. We have a glorious, almost overwhelming 14 games on tap, so I have no idea what the hell this show is going to produce. It could get way out of hand. I try to keep it to about an hour and 15 minutes, but you guys know me. I rambled on a 3-4 game slate, so God only knows what the hell is going to happen on this podcast, on this show. I don't know. It's also almost 4 in the morning, so we're getting a super late start, which is probably not a good sign as well, but God bless. Let's hope the show goes well. It's a crazy slate. I mean, you guys know, before we get into some of the minutia, before we dive into the heart of the show, first let's get this out of the way, because I was doing diligent research before the show on the top cities in the world in terms of dating, top dating cities. Because as you may have known, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday was a day of love. It was a Valentine's Day. So hopefully you guys had a lovely Valentine's Day. If you didn't achieve glory, in DFS, hopefully you achieved it in some other ways, if you get my drift. Maybe you achieved a double glory in both, but hopefully you had a good night. The slate sure sucked. So maybe the NBA was trying to tell us just to spend some time with our loved ones and not watch basketball, because there were three games on. It was a disgusting slate. But not Wednesday, my friends. 14 games, basically. So that's 28 teams. So all teams except two. And then remember, it's All-Star Week. So we only have two games on tomorrow, on Thursday. And then we get a week off. So, yeah, it's going to be insane. So, as you know, my favorite motto, one of them in the show that we have to abide by in DFS, is let the slate guide you, right? The number one, when it comes to who I'm going to play in my lineups for cash games, single entry, and GPPs, the first question I ask myself, what kind of slate are we dealing with? I let the slate dictate who I play. So you've heard me on previous shows give you lectures about 11-game slates are basically like I'm living in New York, right? I got options galore if you're a single man or a single lady. 3-game slate like it was on Tuesday. I think I tweeted to someone that was like living in one of the, the North or South Dakota. It could be a very lovely place to live, but if you're a single person, there's probably not a ton of options. But now on Wednesday, we get 14 games. Can you imagine the options in terms of just players at every position? So I did some advanced research for us. This is real analytics. I looked at the top cities in the world, because I think for this slate, there's so many options that I could not pick a state like even in the U.S. Like maybe New York or L.A. Isn't even good enough. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown, and then together we will decide, i.e. I will decide which state/country/city we are currently in for this slate. But here's the list. The 10th best city in the world in terms of options if you're single is Tokyo. Very surprising. But let me tell you this about Tokyo. There's something called Gokan, and this means, first of all, in Tokyo, there's not a lot of intimacy on the first date. So I know for some of you out there, maybe that's not a good thing. Although if you're shy, maybe you would like that. But if you do, Tokyo also has this thing called Gokan, and I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly. It's G-O-K-O-N. So a lot of times first dates in Tokyo are planned by group strangers. So I'm just throwing that out there. So maybe we don't want to be in Tokyo for this slate. It sounds like not the best place in the world to date. Number 9, the 9th best city in the world if you're single, is L.A. Not bad. Number 8 is Sydney. Number 7, very surprised by this, New York City. We're only number 7. I live in New York City. I thought we'd be a little bit higher, but it's not. It's number 7. Still decent. 6 is London. Number 5 is Chicago. Now, this one surprised me. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin originally. I was pretty close to Chicago. I like Chicago. Cool place. I don't think it's better than New York in terms of options. It's also freezing cold, so no one wants to go outside anyway. So that was a little surprising. But also, there's a quote in the article. We talked about Chicago. So this also, I don't think we can say we're in Chicago for this slate either, because males said the city is brimming with opportunity, and women compared it to compared it to a war zone. So no, like, we can't have the lady listeners out there not having any options. So we're not living in Chicago for this slate. The fourth best city in the world in terms of dating options is Beijing. However, the problem with Beijing is, like, by the third date, you're already talking marriage, according to this article. That's a little too soon for the judge. So I don't want to be in Beijing for this slate. The third one is very intriguing. So this could – I think the third one we can use if it's like a sneaky ninja slate, whatever the hell that kind of slate that would be. Maybe it's like a small slate with really good games, with high over-under games. But number 3 was Kuala Lumpur, which I guess is in Malaysia. Sound like a very exciting place. Maybe we should also visit there one time. Number 2 was Melbourne. Heard really good things about Melbourne. Except it's super expensive there, I guess. But this show, DG Core Room, the podcast, we have a lot of Australia listeners from Australia. So maybe we have a lot of people from Melbourne who can weigh in and let us know. Is there a lot of options there? Does that ring true? But the number 1 city in the world when it comes to options, and that's what this slate is, guys. We're bringing it back to DFS and then this show. And why I did this research for the top 10 cities in the world for best dating options? Because on this slate, we have options galore at every position. And the number 1 city is Paris. And because it was Valentine's Day, Paris is the city of love. This slate is the slate of love. So the slate will guide us. The slate will dictate who we play today. And we are in Paris. So we're not even in the U.S. We're outside the country. But we're in Paris. So je m'appelle the judge. I took French for a little while when I was in – I took French from like 5th grade to 12th grade. Although by now, that was a long, long time ago, so I forgot it all. But as always, like I said, the slate guides us, and we are in Paris for the slate. 14 games, options galore. All right. So as you guys – as I've said on previous podcasts, remember, we basically are going to have a week off of no basketball. So – to me, the people that I like, I'm either going to take some days off and get some sleep, which probably would be wise given the fact that I just spent an hour researching top cities in the world for dating options at 3 o'clock in the morning when I could have been doing other things like sleeping or just doing the podcast earlier or helping basketball research. But that was more fun. Come on, you got to admit, that was more fun than just telling you, who do you play, Booker or Beal? I mean, come on, you get that in any podcast. What other podcast is going to tell you the top 10 cities in the world? Who knows? Maybe some of you are single people out there are going to move to one of those cities or just vacation there. I mean, this show is branching out. We don't only talk basketball now. But during this week off of All-Star break, I think it would make sense to have on. There's some really perplexing teams. I broke my gavel today. This is the second one I had this year that I broke. So I had to order another one on Amazon. Because watching Luke Walton, what he's doing to these Lakers, playing 9 guys 20 minutes, 11 guys 10 plus minutes, and giving Russell and Randle like under 22 minutes, I just can't take anymore. Like, I had to turn the game off. I was just so sickened. Now I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, yes, I understand that they need to keep their top 3, you know, lottery pick. That's you know, one theory out there why Luke Walton's not giving the young guys tons of minutes, but. You're telling me you give Russell and Randle 30 minutes, they're going to start winning games? I don't think so. All you'll see is some more gravy juice coming out of Randle's, you know, shorts. So I would like to have on, I'm part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I want to have on, these are the 5 teams that I think would be the most useful to us in terms of helping us figure out these rosters to help us so we can take advantage of it in the second half of the season. Lakers, Bucks, Pistons, Raptors, and Brooklyn. To me, those are the 5 teams that I find really perplexing. There's about 7 others that I have on this list. Those seem to me the top 5 that I've – my list, and then in terms of how the feedback I've gotten from you guys as well. So I'll give you guys another day or so if there's someone you want to hear from, a host of another podcast who's like an expert on one of these teams, let me know, and I can try to schedule someone else in. But you know, over the next course of the next week or so, hopefully I'll get some people on, and we can try, and I can just grill them and be like, "You tell me what Luke Walton is doing for the Raptors. Why does Casey hate Valanciunas? Explain yourself." For the Bucks, is Jason Kidd, what drugs is he taking? Like, how many big men does he have to, like, what is he doing with his big men? You know, what's he going to do with Jabari Parker's, you know, out for the year? Middleton, how many minutes is Middleton going to get? Blah, 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 blah. Questions galore. Detroit, Reggie Jackson. I mean, it just goes on and on. Brooklyn and the Lakers are very similar. They play everyone, you know, 20 minutes, play the entire roster, except the Lakers actually have young talent, whereas Brooklyn doesn't. Except Brooklyn, you can make the case Ronnie Hollis Jefferson is somewhat talented, and he can't even start. I mean, and God forbid he could get like 24 minutes in a freaking game. So there's a lot of teams that I would love to learn more about that I watch every night, or I watch at least big portions of their game, but I don't know the minutiae, the details. So that's why I think it would help if we get some of the hosts of some of these other podcasts on. All right. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, as you know. Also, please, when I tweet out the show, please retweet it. Little things like this, I'm telling you guys, it makes a difference. You guys, if you want this show to continue, supporting the show in any way you can, even if it's a small way like that, it helps. If you want a consultation with me, too bad. I'm sick of giving you guys all my tricks. I did another one earlier today with a smart guy. I think it's going to be a pretty good tournament player. But down the road, but yeah. So if you do want a consultation, reach out to me. You can tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1 or email me ggcourtroomdfs.com. Speaking of the website, behind the scenes, we are working hard on updating the website, and I hope to kind of do like a special relaunch right after the All-Star break. And I'm really looking forward to that. Also, please, and this one I really mean, not that I didn't mean the other stuff, but please download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFB. POD. I looked at the numbers today because I spoke with the people, the lovely people from Draft, and they quite honestly, they weren't that impressive. Guys, we're getting over 6,000 to 8,000 people listening to each show. So I was really disappointed when I saw the numbers come in on how many people are actually downloaded the podcast. Now, I've been, promoting it for a while. So the overall number is pretty good. But since in like the last, I would say 3 weeks, I've been disappointed. And I know for a fact a lot of you still haven't downloaded it. So it really helps me out, and I really mean it. And I know if you listen to all these other stupid shows, not stupid shows, you listen to all the really good shows. Like I love the Bill Simmons podcast and whatever else you're listening to out there. There's millions of podcasts, but those guys are being paid a fortune. They don't need you to, their sponsors are paying them a fortune, and they don't need you to click on their promo codes or download whatever product they're trying to sell. But like, podcasts like mine, other people who are really grinding away, working hard for you guys, it really does help. And if you could, download the app Draft and most importantly, when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD, it would help me out and it would mean a lot. So please do that. Speaking of the lovely app Draft, we have a new Judges Chambers bracket up there. So a quick shout out to He Hate Me, who's I think he's been following me on Twitter since my days back when I first started doing this like 3 years ago or so. Back then I didn't have a podcast. I don't know what I was doing. I was like writing articles. And I was on like a Twitch show once a week, a live show, or maybe it was the twice a week I was doing the live show, which by the way, I'm tinkering with the idea of doing like a live show maybe once a week or so, starting in the second half of the season as well. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that hopefully will work out going forward. As the show is getting bigger, and so the demand does seem to be there. So if I can do things like that, I will. But a quick shout out to He Hate Me. He was in the last Judges Chambers on Draft, which is, as you guys know, hopefully it's like a bracket challenge, 128 spots, head to head. Winner goes on. It's 7 full days. If you win, you advance from the round of 128 all the way down to the final four, final two. So He Hate Me got to the final four. And then he lost, I think, yesterday. But out of the people in the final four, I think he was the only one out of my followers. So that there were 3 people who don't even listen to the show or follow the judge who ended up making the final four and actually going to win the Judges Chambers on Draft. So there's a new one up in the lobby right now. it's already, I'm you know, proud of you guys. It's 75 of, out of 128 spots were already filled by the time I'm recording this, which is, you know, after 4 a.m. in the morning. So when you do listen, if you, you know, I highly recommend you get in there. It's a lot of fun. $10 entry fee. Like I said, 128 spots. It's 7 days. So you get your money worth. Money's worth if you keep winning. It's a snake draft. You draft two guards, two forwards, one center. Takes a minute or two to complete the draft. It's a lot of fun. So please get in there. Also, if you also want to support the show in a way like buying a shirt, notebook, mug, things like that, it's very nice. It is very trendy to take notes. You know, in your DG courtroom notebook. I got a bunch of shipment of shirts today, which I think I'll at some point I'll start giving out to the people who like win best of the best chambers or at the top of the power rankings, or I'll figure out some way to have, you know, giveaways of stuff like that. But I'll put the link in like the, when I post the podcast, if you look in like the description of the podcast, I'm going to put the promo code for draft. And I'm also going to put the link for the, if you want to buy a shirt or a notebook or a mug or whatever, you want to buy a hoodie, if you're living in a cold place. All right. So I need, sorry, whoever made that review about me, they didn't want me taking sips of water, but we got a 14 game slate. We're in Paris. It's a new country. I'm a little nervous. I don't know the language. So I'm going to drink some extra water on this show. And whoever wrote that review is going to have to deal with it. So chambers for Tuesday, you guys still wanted me to have, you know, we had two chambers on DraftKings because the demand was still high for that. And we had three as usual on FanDuel. So even on a crappy three game slate, which I didn't play a ton of, we still had a lot of people who wanted to play in chambers. So we still had that going full steam on Tuesday. And the winners, the number 10 ranked player in chambers on FanDuel, the squad god, had the best score of the night as well, with a 320, his second win of the year, but his 12th cash. So congrats to him. And he needed it because he was close to falling out of the rankings. There's about 7-8 guys who are knocking on the door of getting in the power rankings for chambers. RZ, another guy who is knocking on the door. He's outside the top 10 right now, but he also won on this slate, a chambers, also scored a 320. His fourth win and his 9th cash of the year. And Bad Notions got his second win and his 10th cash of the year. And RZ and Bad Notions are two guys that are knocking on the door of chambers. So it's super competitive. And, you know, if you've been listening to the show, you haven't joined chambers yet, you are ready. That's me trying to do a whisper. Sometimes whispers, it's hard to do a whisper on a podcast, but you're ready. The judge is telling you, I have trained you and I want to see your skills in chambers. It's time. It's just time. What are you waiting for? I mean, I guess you can wait till after the All-Star break, but then I need to see you in there. It's pretty cool. I mean, we've now had, I forgot what the number was. It's either, I think it's like close to 700 people on FanDuel alone who have been in chambers this year. And on DraftKings, I don't have the data in front of me, but on DraftKings, that number seems to be growing pretty fast too. Speaking of DraftKings, the winner of chambers on Tuesday, Deep Patino, won one of the chambers because we did have two of them on DraftKings with a 297. And then we had Redlicious, sort of 291. And I think that one was a winner take all on DraftKings. And I might start, maybe if I could start doing that on FanDuel too, I could start doing some winner take all chambers just to mix it up a little bit. All right, let's roll into Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Even though it was a three-game slate, there also was a trade, so we can talk about that as well. So in case you missed the trade, it was Serge Ibaka for Orlando for Terrence Ross and a first-round pick. Woohoo! Let's get excited for that. I mean, for Toronto, this was actually a pretty nice move. They got a nice upgrade because otherwise, I mean, who are they playing at power forward? Patterson, Noghead. So this is clearly an upgrade for them. They're, you know, with Kevin Love being out now for 6 weeks, Toronto must think that they actually have a shot to win the East. So I like the move for them. For Orlando, yeah, I mean, quite honestly, Ibaka, they weren't going anywhere with Ibaka, and he was going to be a free agent anyway, so I guess they could get rid of him. But let's just take a step back, because Dream Killer is the Orlando Magic GM. And I think all of us, I know I'd like to be a general manager for an NBA team, wouldn't you? I think we should all tweet to the Orlando Magic. And I looked at what the Twitter handle is. It's very confusing. It's at Orlando Magic. So I'm going to be sending them my resume. And I think you guys should as well, because I think you're all qualified. Because look what this general manager has done. Let's take a step back, right? So last year, they traded Tobias Harris, arguably their best player, if not top three best player, one of their top three best players. They got Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. Okay, that's disgusting. What they do this year then, or in the offseason, they traded Oladipo, Ilyasova, and the 2016 11th pick, which turned out to be Sabonis, for Ibaka. Okay. Now they just traded Ibaka for Terrence Ross and like a late first-round pick. It's not even going to be a good first-round pick. It's going to be a pick in like the 20s. So what does that mean? That means they basically traded away everyone, all those assets, for Terrence Ross and a pick in like the mid-20s. They traded away Tobias, Oladipo, Sabonis, who eventually will be pretty good, Ilyasova, just for Terrence frickin' Ross and a pick in like the mid-20s. That's a dream killer. That's a soul crusher. If you're an Orlando Magic fan, my condolences. God, you must be pretty furious to have this guy running your team. Like, none of these moves make sense. If you want to look at them in a vacuum, I guess the Ibaka one somewhat does, because they weren't probably going to be able to resign him and they weren't going anywhere this year anyway. They've been a mess. But overall, just a horrendous job by that general manager. It's just, I don't get it. So I'm sending in my resume. You guys should do the same at Orlando Magic. All right. In terms of like DFS impact though, for that trade, I do think the winners on Orlando are going to be Vucevic, who gets like a 3 percentage point bump without Ibaka. Aaron Gordon should see some more months, should see some more minutes, hopefully at the power forward spot. But I've heard conflicting reports on what the hell they're going to do with Aaron Gordon. It would make sense to put him at that stretch four. So we'll see. Evan Fournier should get a little bit of an uptick in usage as well. And I do think Terrence Ross, this is actually a pretty good fit for him. He's probably never going to be a cash game play for us in DFS, but he's a one-trick pony, but he's a really good scorer. And Orlando does need scoring off the bench. So he could have some big games for them. In terms of losers, Ibaka, he's going to take a big hit. I think he really will. I think his usage, which was not even high anyway, it was like in like the mid to low 20s, is probably going to go to like the high teens. So he's going to be a guy. Granted, we'll see what his salary is, but not a guy who's going to be a great play. Hopefully, Dwayne Casey will give him legitimate minutes, which I think he'll get. So if his price goes down in like the 5K to 5.8 range, I think he'll be in play some days. But he's not going to be a guy with lots of upside. He's not going to be helping us win tournaments, I don't think. But we'll see. All right, other dream killers. Let's talk about Shumpert. You know, this goes into the whole theory about when you're, you know, first of all, it was a 3-game slate. So you had to play bums like Shumpert, and you had to play bums like McLemore. And, you know, and you had to take chances on a 3-game slate because there's not many players. And if you wanted to take down a tournament, you had to try to take a chance on guys who are going to be less than 10% owned, like those we don't speak of, and Bobby Portis and Rondo and all kinds of bums out there. You know, so Shumpert, he laid an egg. He's done this to me a couple times this year. That's a problem when you play a guy with no usage rate. He ended up with, I think, 9 points, maybe took what, 7-8 shots. The thing that sucked with him, he had one turnover, one assist, and nothing else. Not a rebound, not a steal, just nothing. So it was a complete waste if you used him. Brandon Rush, he actually got 37 minutes for Minnesota, which was shocking. So Thibodeau, he played everyone in the big minutes, but another guy who doesn't have a usage rate. And this is what I always talk about. You hear me lecturing you guys on usage all the time. And that's because, like, what good is it? It didn't even matter that Brandon Rush played 37 minutes because he took 6 shots and he did nothing. He made, like, what, 1 or 2 of them? And it was a complete bust. So that's the problem. Give me a guy any day of the week in tournaments that's going to play 24 minutes and take 15 shots. So, you know, so Brandon Rush, I played a little of him. That didn't work out either. Towns was a dream killer because, again, on this slate, if you went Towns, you had to fade. You basically faded Boogie to go Towns, and I understood the rationale for it. I did it in a lot of lineups. Didn't work out though. Cousins went bananas. Damari Carroll, another guy. He played 40 minutes. Guess how many shots? 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is the problem. When we're playing guys like that, that's what can happen. And this goes to the whole conversation of where are we on this slate? Let's bring it full circle. We're in Paris, right? We have 14 games now on Wednesday. We don't need to play those guys on this slate. And I know I heard from a lot of you on Monday who played Roberson. Monday was an 11-game slate, and a lot of you were playing Roberson in tournaments. And quite honestly, and I mean, some guys who I really respect, I mean, I think Fluckin' Fantasy, who's a super talented player, I think he's number 3 in the 4 in the power rankings right now. You know, a good friend of mine on Twitter, I think he played Roberson. So smart people can disagree on who to play, but like my philosophy on guys like Roberson is like, I don't mind going that route in, oh, by the way, my bad. I did a consult today with a big OKC fan. He yelled at me for calling him Roberson. I guess it's Roberson. But everyone, whenever I watch, they call him Roberson, but it's Roberson. So my bad. So Roberson, if you want to use him, like I guess I can understand the rationale on a smaller slate or even in cash games, you know, because lately he has been hitting quote unquote value, right? And he goes in stretches when he has somewhat of a safe floor. But when it comes to tournaments, like and this, like your mindset kind of has to be different, and you need to be thinking, you know, can I envision this guy in a winning GPP lineup? Can I envision this guy not giving me value? Can I envision this guy giving me 6, 7, 8 times value? Like if this guy goes off, like how many FanDuel or DraftKings points can he give me? And on Monday, we had at the exact same price guys like Michael Beasley and TJ Warren. Now TJ Warren put up a dud and Beasley went nuts, went bonkers, had over 40 FanDuel points, 45. I don't remember exactly how many he had. And I played both of them. And in my Beasley lineups, I made a lot of money. And in my Warren lineups, I lost every single one of them. But to me, both of those guys had the potential to give me 6, 7, 8, 9 times value. Whereas Roberson, even on his best day, he's going to, what, squeak out value. And that's the difference when I talk about, you know, I let the slate dictate what I do. On an 11-game slate, I just could never envision Roberson being in a winning GPP lineup, whereas on a 4 or 5 game slate, maybe potentially, plus, you know, when you play a guy that cheap, then it allows me to get a Cousins or a Westbrook. But on a 11, 12, 13, 14 game slate, when I know there's guys like Beasley out there, TJ Warren, yes, they could put up a dud because Jason Kidd might not play Beasley. Earl Watson might not play TJ Warren. But if he does give them the minutes, they could put up monster lines, and Roberson will never do that for us. And that's for me as a tournament player. That's why every day of the week I'll be playing the Beasley and the Warren guys. You know, now I might lose, but I'll go down swinging at least. That's why, you know, to play a guy with no usage rate like a Roberson, to me it's just limited upside. And that's just my philosophy. Like I said, you know, some really smart people can disagree on obviously who to play. And that's what makes DFS fun. I got into a lot of it with you guys on Monday for using Roberson, and that I just wanted to explain my rationale and why I think on large slates, using guys like that in tournaments is just not the right way to go. If you want to still go that route in cash games, I probably wouldn't even do it in cash, but at least in cash, I can understand it, because in cash games, it's a different mentality. In cash games, you're thinking of floor, you want safety, safety, safety. And obviously, is Roberson a safer play than Beasley or TJ Warren? You could kind of even make an argument there, but probably, especially the way TJ Warren's has been at Magic Mountain lately. But that's just my philosophy. So you know, you can make the case for Roberson. This similar argument goes for guys like Shumpert and guys like Carroll. You know, and guys, Portland, Harkless. I mean, all those guys. I let the slate kind of guide me. So on these large slates like this, it's just so hard for me to envision one of them with a low usage rate, you know, hitting 7, 8 times value, seven, 8 times their salary, which is what I'm going to need to take down a tournament. And when I'm playing tournaments, that's my only goal. All right. Woo, man. Sometimes I just go on rants. I don't even know why. Man. All right, where are we? And the Dream Killers, for there's only three games late. Taj Gibson. I mean, he lives in a ceiling without a house. Another guy. Just there's just never a reason. Now, remember, it was a three-game slate on Tuesday, right? So, yes, then you have to do things like that. But on this 14-game slate, would I ever play a guy like Taj Gibson? No. He's got no freaking ceiling whatsoever. He must be freezing at night living in whatever house he lives in, whatever mansion he is. Also, he got four rebounds. What the hell was that, Taj Gibson? Four freaking rebounds? He's under 5K, and he can't even give me freaking value. Just disgusting. Luke Walton, I mentioned, playing nine guys, 20-plus minutes, giving Randall and Russell like 20 and 22 minutes. It's just sickening to me. Nick Young, who's the worst player in the NBA, you can make an argument, he plays 30 minutes. Why would he be the one guy that gets 30 minutes? Just makes no sense in the world. If they want to tank, trade Lou Williams, because Lou Williams is their best player right now. And which I think hopefully they will trade him. Cause I mean, Lou Williams could help out a lot of teams. Also, Ben McLemore, the first time I rostered him all year, of course he let me down. Matt Barnes, he had a bad night against the Lakers. And, Dwayne Casey, the Toronto basically was sleepwalking against the Bulls. They got blown out, and the first half, they didn't show up at all. And the only guy who did show up though was my boy Valanciunas. He was a monster. He had like 17 FanDuel points in like the first quarter. I think he had 20 at the half. And then he got benched the entire second half because that's what Dwayne Casey does. He hates Valanciunas more than life itself. So rather than reward the one guy who came to play, he basically benched him and went small. And they still lost. So Dwayne Casey, F you. I hate your freaking guts. If I ever saw you down the street, I'd take my gavel and I would Draymond Green you in the nuts. I really would. And then I would probably run scared because Dwayne Casey scares the hell out of me. If you've seen him, man, he seems like he could beat the hell out of people. All right, dream lovers. LeBron's a double dream lover these days. He really is. Because not only can you play LeBron, he wasn't that great, didn't pay off his price tag, but for this slate, it probably didn't kill you. But as I've been saying this for weeks now, and I tweeted this before the lineup lock, I loved Wiggins. Wiggins always plays well against Cleveland, but LeBron leads the league in minutes, but he also leads the league in saving energy because he doesn't play defense at all. And he doesn't even play offense half the game. He basically plays like 3 or 4 6-minute stretches. And he's so damn good that he's still good enough in those 3 or 4 like 6 6-minute stretches to still put up like 50 FanDuel points or DraftKings points or whatever it is, and to help Cleveland win. But like he rests so much of the time. He lets Kyrie take over for large stretches. And then he'll be a facilitator and just initiate the offense. He won't look to score. So like what he's doing is pretty impressive, yet also bizarre. I mean, that's why he can lead the league in minutes though. He's so not interested in playing defense for at least 3/4 of the game. And Wiggins, you know, just destroyed him. And Wiggins might've had more, fantasy points than him as well. It was really close. I think they were neck and neck, except Wiggins was like $4,000 cheaper. Granted, Wiggins took 29 shots too, which also says something, which says that, you know, it was easy to get off a shot against LeBron. So Wiggins was a dream lover. And so from now on, and I've been doing this for the last, I think, 2, 3, 4 weeks now, every time LeBron, the Cavs are playing, I play the opposing small forward, and it's worked like every freaking time. And this is only going to get better, I think, for us with Kevin Love being out, because now LeBron has to carry more of the load. So he's going to be even more saving more energy on the defensive end. Ricky Rubio was terrific, 16 assists for him. French Fry, I did not think he's going to get 33 minutes, even with Kevin Love being out. Didn't think he'd take 15 shots. He was 4 for 11 for threes. Also got 10 rebounds. He put up like close to 40 FanDuel points. That it worked out if you played him. I mean, I think WTBA was trying to tell me he was a great play. On my deathbed, even if that was the difference between me living and dying, I would still never say he's ever a great play on any slate, but it worked out if you played him. I did think he was also too expensive on DraftKings, but we'll see going forward. I think Ty Lue is going to kind of go matchup based. So some days he'll go small. And some days he's going to go big. So do I think French Fry is going to keep giving us 40 FanDuel points? Hell no. But we'll see going forward. And also, French fries are like 75 years old. So the French fries are stale. It's not McDonald's French fries. It's like, I don't eat fast food. So I'm trying to think of what's a fast food place that has nasty French fries? Hardee's? I don't know. Kyrie was, I don't know if he's a dream lover. He was fine. He basically paid off his salary. Those we don't speak of. For if you're new to the podcast, Doug McDermott, he was chalk one day. He was like 50-60% owned and played like the worst game of his life and maybe had like 2 Vandal points or something. So after that, I gave him the nickname Those We Don't Speak Of, which is based on the movie The Village, which you should Google that or YouTube that to see what I'm talking about. But hashtag Those We Don't Speak Of had a good game. Doug McDermott went nuts, which one-trick ponies can do. And then Cousins, he was a key. He needed to be in your lineup. He, against the Lakers, he absolutely destroyed. On this slate, there were arguments to play him and to fade him with only 3 games. So, but if you faded him, it didn't work out. All right, injury news for Thursday or Wednesday. Sorry, surprise. There's not a ton of injury news. I thought there'd be more. LaVoy Allen, who cares? Terrence Ross, I think they're going to play on Wednesday. I think Terrence Ross is going to play for Orlando, and I think Serge Ibaka is going to play for Toronto. Trevor Booker, who cares? I think Mason Plumlee is going to play for Denver, so this will be intriguing to see what they do. I think Wilson Chandler and Emmanuel Mudiay are still questionable for Denver. Nurkic is going to play for Portland, although for Portland, I wouldn't expect him to get a ton of minutes off the bat. But Stotts is going to troll us all year long. We already saw it in the first game back. A lot of you jumped on the Myers-Leonard train. I immediately went to Ed Davis because I thought Ed Davis probably going to end up with more minutes, and he's a better player, better rebounder. I think Leonard got into some foul trouble, but they both played about 24 minutes, and Davis had a better game. But it's going to be hit or miss with Leonard and Davis and Nurkic for the rest of the year, unfortunately, I think. Klay Thompson's going to play, and then you got Ty Lawson questionable and Thabo Sefolosha questionable. As long as Sefolosha is out, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bazemore have been really good for Atlanta. I'm not sure if people have been noticing, but they've both been good. And the theme of the day, this is what I need, the theme. Obviously, the theme of the day is let the slate guide us, right? We're in Paris, the city of love. So options galore, right? Don't give me questions on Wednesday. I don't want to hear if I get tweets from you about Robertson, guys like Carroll, guys with usage rates of like 14%, I will come to you. I will find you. Even though I'm in Paris, I'll have to fly back to wherever you live, wherever you are, and I will take my gavel and I will gently hit you in the head. So obviously the slate guides us, but the other theme of the day is make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions. You can't roster bait all day long. You can't be looking at a player pool of 1,000 players. You got to make choices. Remember, you are the mother effing CEO of your DFS team, of your lineup. You're the mother effing CEO. Keep telling yourself that, and you make the decision. You're in control. So you got to make decisions. Don't be all day long, Beal Booker. Pull the trigger. Make a decision and move on. I'm telling you, otherwise you're going to on this slate. It's too many games. It's too many players. It's too much info to try to get through. All right, let's take a quick no, I'm not going to Vegas. I'm staying in Paris. So I'm going to just look at Vegas from afar. So one way that I'm going to narrow the player pool for cash games, and remember, tournaments, everyone's in play. But even in tournaments, you got to narrow the player pool as well. But for cash games, what I'm doing, I'm knocking off 5 games immediately. I'm knocking off San Antonio. Where is it? So San Antonio, Orlando, get the hell out of my life. Peace. New Orleans, Memphis, FU. Portland, Utah, screw you. Dame Judy Dench Lillard, go F yourself. Dallas, Detroit, no thank you. Sacramento, Golden State. If I'm going to play Golden State guys on a 14-game slate in cash games, you got to be out of your mind. So those games, for cash games, no. I'm just Xing them out, and then I'm automatically my player pool is down to 9 games, and that's manageable. We've had 9-game slates many times this year. That's a manageable player pool. Now, like I said, that's my decision. That's the decision I'm making. Now, will I play those guys in tournaments? Of course I will. I love some of those guys in tournaments. But cash games about safety, 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 safety. And I don't need to get risky. on this slate in cash games. I don't need to force anything with all the options. I'm in the Paris. I'm in the clubs. Love is in the air. I'm not forcing a freaking thing on this slate in cash games. Even in tournaments, I really don't have to force too much, quite honestly. But tournaments, I will take. I'm certainly going to take chances in tournaments, like I always do. So looking at the best games, Lakers, Phoenix. You have two teams that don't play any defense, but we already talked about Luke Walton. It's just, am I touching the Lakers in cash game? And this, honestly, this game is another game you could say I'm not. Even though the over/under is tremendous, the highest over/under 226. Another game within in cash games. Do I want anyone from this game? No, I don't. Even with that high over/under. Now, in tournaments, there's some Phoenix guys that I like, but which Laker am I going to play? Do I want to play Lou Williams on a 14-game slate? I mean, maybe in a tournament, but I'm like, how can we trust Russell and Randall in any format? I mean, maybe if I'm playing 20 lineups, I'd play Randall or Russell in one, but you can't trust any Laker right now. So like, honestly, this game in cash, another game. There we go. Now I'm down to what? 8 games. Miami, Houston, 222 over under. A little nervous. Houston's going to blow out Miami. Miami, they had their nice little run, but they stink. So if you want to narrow the player pool, that's another way to do it. I mean, Miami is playing way up in pace, though, so I'm not going to cross that one off completely. Milwaukee at Brooklyn, 220 over under. Nice game. Attacking Brooklyn hasn't been working lately as well as it has in the first month or two of the year, but still, Milwaukee's playing way up in pace, so I don't mind that game. Indiana, Cleveland, love attacking LeBron. I love Cleveland and attacking Cleveland in general because they can't defend any position. Kyrie plays no defense. Shumpert maybe is an okay defender, but whatever. LeBron, no defense. Channing, freaking French fry. If his lateral quickness is slower than a turtle, so I mean, you can attack Cleveland every freaking position. So I love that. Love that game. Knicks at OKC. Wow. Another game. Zero defense. So, I mean, love that game. Philly, Boston, 217 over under. Charlotte, Toronto, 213 over under. And then Atlanta, Clippers, 213 over under. Teams playing up in pace that I want to target on this slate. You got the Bucks. Love the Bucks on this slate. Sacramento. I mean, for tournaments, maybe some Sacramento guys, but that's not a game I really love because Golden State, there's no spread yet, but Sacramento on a back-to-back, Golden State should beat them by 20. And some, I think the thing was I Am Legend made a really good analogy. He basically called Golden State the Coors Field of NBA DFS, and that's kind of spot on. If you played Major League Baseball DFS, I mean, because of the altitude in Coors Field, the over-unders are always super freaking high because there's always tons of runs if you play a game in Colorado. And correspondingly, everyone in that game is priced up for that particular slate. So it's like it's really risky to play. Even though you want to attack that game, it looks juicy on paper. For the most part, a lot of times it can end up dooming your lineup because if you play someone from that game, they need to have a monster line because they're super expensive and they need to score lots of runs. And that's similar to Golden State. The over-under is always really high. So it's basically like a big bone of chicken. If you're like a big fat guy at Thanksgiving and you're super hungry and you want to eat the chicken, you want that chicken bone. It looks tasty. It looks delicious. But at the same time, I mean, it's just it's almost like when you taste into it, it's like it was from like last year's Thanksgiving. It's just Golden State blows teams out so fast. It ends up where almost everyone in that game ends up not hitting value and it being a super disappointing a game for everyone. Frickin' Golden State. Kevin Durant ruining DFS, ruining NBA. The Lakers playing way up in pace against Phoenix, but we've already discussed the Lakers. Miami way up in pace against Houston. And Minnesota on a back-to-back way up against Denver. And the Knicks a little bit up in pace against OKC. All right. Let's hop into the plays. There's lots of plays, so I'm not going to mention all of them because that would take me 17 hours and I had to waste a lot of time telling you the top 10 cities in the world to date. all right. So at point guard, we got Westbrook. He's 12.4K. As always, on large slates, you don't have to do it. If you just look at the winning lineups on large slates, usually it's more of a balanced lineup. that is going to take down a tournament, because on a large slate, when we're in Paris, options galore every spot, and playing Westbrook limits what you can do with the rest of your roster construction. And when you have a this many guys who are capable of giving you 7, 8, 9 times value, if you play Westbrook, then we're going to be stuck playing like 2 or 3 bums. And on this slate, we don't have to do it. With that said, my philosophy, I always play him in about 15% of my lineups, regardless of the slate, even if it's a large slate, because he is capable of giving you 70, 80, 90 FanDuel points. And if he does that, he will be in the winning lineup. And on this slate, there are, like I said, there's so many options. So you can't, there are lots of good value guys as well. And he gets the Knicks. So he's going to get Derrick Rose or Brandon Jennings defense. The Knicks have not defended point guard all year long. They're a mess. They're horrific. Westbrook's been good lately. The problem is, like, they've been getting blown out by teams. So, like, you know, if OKC gets blown out for Westbrook at his price, it's just a debacle. So you can treat Westbrook however you want. He's always good in any format. Isaiah Thomas, 10K. It's just a guy on a 14-game slate, and you almost every – I don't want to keep saying on a 14-game slate. I feel like I'm going to say that for every player, but – because I should be. And so if I don't say it, I want you to think it for every player I'm saying. Remember, because you guys have to keep that in mind every time you're choosing a player on this slate. So Isaiah, he's so expensive now. He's got to give you 50. And quite honestly, even if he gave me 50 FanDuel or DraftKings points, I don't even think that would be enough. So he's given me 50 like once in the last 10 games or so, maybe twice. So not a huge ceiling at that price. Do I want to go that route in cash games? Not really. This is where he kind of separates real life from DFS, right? So in DFS, he's just kind of overpriced right now, even though he's been fantastic in real life. Although he should destroy TJ McConnell. Steph Curry, I'm not even gonna mention any more of the Sacramento, or at least any more Golden State guys the rest of the slate. You can always play Golden State guys in tournaments if you want. Bledsoe's in a good spot. So he gets the Lakers, he's 8.8K. Don't do it in cash games. But remember, he's been tired, so Hornacek rested him a game against Houston. He came back against the Pelicans, and he played really well at 48 FanDuel points. The Lakers stink at every position, so feel free to play Westbrook in tournaments. Kyle Lowry, 8.5K. Toronto's on a back-to-back with Serge Ibaka back. There's just other guys I prefer. And also Lowry, he's been so efficient and good this year. The last few games hasn't been there. And to me, his price should come down a little bit, so I don't love that play. Kyrie Irving, I love – on Cleveland on back-to-backs, I like playing Kyrie because he's still super young. I mean, people forget. He's what? Is he 24, 25 still? So LeBron is not. LeBron's – in basketball years, like 50. LeBron's going to take so much time, you know, not trying on this game, that Kyrie's going to, especially without Kevin Love, sees the monster bump in usage anyway. So I think Kyrie's safe for all formats against Indiana. I'm not touching Jrue Dench-Lillard against Utah in cash games. You want to do it in tournaments? Remember, guys, in tournaments, everyone's in play. So in tournaments, of course. Jrue Holiday, another guy. That game, I'm not, you know, I don't want to touch anyone against Memphis in cash games on a 14-game slate. Goran Dragic, 7.9K. I have some interest here. It's not going to be in cash games, even though Miami is playing way up in pace. Waiters coming back, I think, does hurt him a little bit. Now Waiters and Tyler Johnson, they do initiate a lot of the offense, surprisingly. You look at Dragic's assists. And they've been down. They've been 1-2 and 5 last 3 games, which has been disappointing. So I don't mind it for tournaments. I don't want it for cash games. Mike Conley, 7.7K. You can attack the Pelicans at guards at any position, quite honestly. And I don't mind this. To me, it's a fair price. So to me, he's safe for all formats on this slate. I don't know if he has the upside to be in the winning tournament lineup. To me, like, if he has a really, really good game, it's probably going to be like – it'd be probably 40 FanDuel points right around there. So will that be enough in a tournament? I don't know. But a cash game, I think it's safe. Kemba, 7.6K. you know, he's not a cash game guy. He's Magic Mountain. He was bad for about a week and a half. Finally bounced back against Philly, was really good. Charlotte, the team is in a total tailspin. Very confusing and perplexing. So tournament guy, if you want to use him, you can. But Lowry has been a good defender this year. And I do think Toronto is going to be pumped up to have Ibaka, their first game back with Ibaka. Jeff Teague, I love this Indiana-Cleveland game. I think Teague's in a good spot. Kyrie Irving defense is disgusting. Probably not wise for cash games because Teague's been a little up and down. But I love it. To me, it's an elite spot for tournaments. Ricky Rubio gets Denver. Denver plays at such – I love watching Denver play. They are phenomenal to watch. I love their pace. So Rubio, even though it's a tad risky because he's a guy with a really low usage rate, Denver, that pace and attacking that game, and Rubio seems to be locked into high minutes. He's going to get a lot of assists with Wiggins and Towns. To me, because of the pace, he's safe for all formats. I'm a little nervous about that one, but I if it wasn't Denver, I would not want Rubio on a 14-game slate. But because it's Denver, I think it's okay. Dennis Schroeder, tournament's only 6.5K. It's fine. Don't love that. Derrick Rose, 6K. He's been not great lately since his comeback from injury. That was hard to be in love with that play. I'll stack that game, the New York OKC game. So I'll have a Westbrook Rose lineup. Darren Collison, tournaments only because it's Golden State. Also, he's getting too expensive though as well. George Hill, 5.9K, very intriguing here. It's a 14-game slate, so I don't think I want to use it in cash. But I'm intrigued by love attacking Judy Dench. So for tournaments, now George Hill, I think last game out he put up an absolute freaking dud of like 8 FanDuel points, although Utah got destroyed by the Clippers. But he can get you like 40 FanDuel points. And to win tournaments, I want guys who are capable of giving me like 8 times value. I don't love his game in real life. I do love attacking Judy Dench because Judy Dench, talk about a guy who's a tin man, similar to LeBron, except not nearly as talented, skilled, or good enough to be doing this. He takes so much time dreaming and daydreaming during the course of a game on offense and defense. I don't know what Lillard's been doing this year. Him and Paul George are the two most frustrating guys in the league to me. It's just wasted talent this entire year. So I like Paul George on this slate. More so for tournaments, though. Elfrid Payton, don't love that against the Spurs. D'Angelo Russell, it's against Phoenix, but he only gets like 20 minutes some nights. So tournaments and pray if you want. Tyler Johnson against Houston, you can do that in tournaments if you want. He hasn't flashed monster upside lately, so that worries me a tad. But I do want some exposure to this Miami-Houston game in case it stays close in GPPs. I'm probably going to avoid the Yogi Ferrell, Darren Williams thing. They're both 5.6K. Darren Williams is allegedly going to play. So on a 14 game slate, I don't need either of those two guys. Jameer Nelson is 5.3K. He's been really good. I mean, as long as Moutier's out, he's in play. He's safe for any format. He's been so excellent. I've been shocked at how good he looks. He looks spry as a freaking chicken, or fry as a kite. What's the right phrase? I don't know why I'm thinking fry because I'm thinking French fry. Spry. Is it spry as a chicken? I don't know. Either way, he's taking some Benjamin Button pills. He looks super athletic and not athletic. But he looks quick. As much as looks like a chicken nugget as well. But he's been really spry and he's like Denver, if you watch them, I don't know what's gotten into that team. Like Will Barton, he's like a pogo stick. He's like dancing up and down the court. Hernan Gomez. I mean, Nelson, they're playing with such confidence right now. So, and I love that game. So, I mean, to me, he's safe for all formats. That price is still very fair, at least on FanDuel. I don't know what it is on DraftKings right now. Austin Rivers, I love attacking Atlanta guards. So I don't like Austin Rivers at all. But for tournaments, talk about a guy who's going to be less than 5% owned who could put up a big number. I like it for tournaments. Brogdon, he did not work out for me last time out against Detroit. So not cash game anymore. Tournaments only, but against Brooklyn, yeah, why not in tournaments? Then you got some under 5K guys. You got Fat Felton, Tony Parker, Dellavedova, Jamal Murray. If Moutier's still out, Murray's somewhat intriguing for tournaments, but you don't have to do it on this slate. And that's probably it for point guard. Shooting guard, so you got Harden at 12.2K. Because shooting guard is never as good as point guard, Harden's always a little bit more intriguing to use, for me at least, in cash games. He gets Miami. Normally, so means Houston's playing down in pace. The blowout does concern me a little bit. Also, on this slate, you don't have to pay up, though, for any of the stars, and you can use a more balanced lineup. But my approach with Harden is somewhat similar to Westbrook. I usually will play about 15% of Harden, regardless of the slate, in case he does put up 70, 80, 90. Giannis is 10.8K, so the price has come down against Brooklyn. So he was really bad. So the two games without Parker, three games. He's been good two of them, and against Detroit, he was not. But Detroit is kind of a weird team to gauge. Now he gets the best matchup in the world for him. And it's very hard for me to envision him not getting 45, 50 FanDuel points. So to me, you can save 1.4K from Harden. I think he's a nice pivot in tournaments. Is Harden still a little bit safer? Yeah, maybe. But it's tough. I'm right now I'm on the fence if I want to use and Giannis in cash. I probably would not use Giannis in cash just because he hasn't given me the upside that we really need at that price tag. But I do like it a lot for tournaments. DeMar DeRozan, too expensive. No, thank you. Nick Batum, 7.4K. To me, this is a very fair price, very safe play. I like using Batum in cash games and building balanced lineups because he struggled last game out, but he's pretty much going to give you, I think, 35 FanDuel points or 35 to 40, hopefully, against Toronto in this game. And let's face it, for most of the season, they've been the Charlotte Batums. You can make an argument that's one reason why they suck, and that because Kemba, they should be Kemba's team, but they're not. So I think Batum, you don't have to do it in cash games, but I do think it's pretty much safe for all formats. He's more of a cash game guy for me, though, not monster upside. Deion Waiters is 7.1K. That's so expensive. He gets James Harden defense. So if you want to do it in cash games, I guess you can. Tournaments, I guess it's okay, too. But if you look at his game logs, for a one-trick pony, even though he has been getting assists lately, he needs to get us like 35 FanDuel points to pay off his salary, and like that's like his ceiling pretty much these days. So just because it's Houston and the pace of that game, I'll use maybe if I have like 10 lineups, I'd use him in maybe two. Devin Booker against the Lakers, elite matchup. So even though he's a one-trick pony, he takes so many freaking shots. He's safe for all formats for me on this slate. Will Barton, he's playing so well, and like I said, he's like a pogo stick. I mean, he actually reminded me of last time I watched Denver play. He reminded me of like a poor man's version of Kevin Durant. He's super long, super lanky. He can create his own shot so easily. Watching the difference between like him and Gary Harris, where Will Barton would just take shot after shot after shot after shot. Also, he crashes the boards. Like, he's a really good, sneaky good rebounder, whereas Gary Harris just stays on the perimeter, never touches a freaking ball, takes like two shots a quarter. Like, Will Barton, to me, he's expensive, but not unplayable in tournaments. Maybe a little bit unplayable in cash games, but he's been so good. I've been so impressed watching him play lately. He is really talented. Now he is a Magic Mountain guy. We can't forget that. So I'm not going to let the last couple games completely fool me. But I do like him for tournaments. Lou Williams, I mean, whatever. If there's one Laker I would use, I guess it would be him right now. But he's expensive, and it's a 14 game slate. I'm in Paris. Oladipo. So it feels like a force on this slate, except for the fact that it's the Knicks. So I don't mind it. Don't love it, though. Same price. There's a lot of guys around the 6K mark. You got Oladipo, Hardaway Jr., Wes Matthews, and Marcus Smart. To me, as long as Avery Bradley's out, Marcus Smart is safe for all formats. And he's been a super nice safe playing cash games. He's not a one-trick pony. Fills up the stat sheet. I love playing Marcus Smart in cash right now. It's a really nice, safe way to go. Wes Matthews, it's against Detroit. So he's 6K. He also has no usage rate. So I prefer Marcus Smart, but I don't mind Wes Matthews as well. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., if in tournaments, I probably prefer I prefer Tim Hardaway Jr. the most in tournaments over Oladipo, Matthews, and Smart. And quite honestly, if Sefolosha is out, you could make an argument that Hardaway is probably the best cash game play as well. He's been really locked in and playing really well. Me, I still would probably go Smart in cash games. One, Hardaway Jr. Two, West three, and probably Oladipo four. In tournaments, I would rank them Hardaway Jr. one, Marcus two, Oladipo three, West four. Evan Fournier, I don't mind it. 5.5K is cheap. Noah Baca should help him a little bit. You can attack the Spurs at guard, but it is the Spurs. It's 14 games, so I don't love it. And I've been using him a lot. And he, quite honestly, he's been up and down, ever since Orlando's been dealing with some injuries. And I thought he'd be a better play, so it's fine. Another guy, if you use him in cash, I don't think he's going to kill your lineup. Seth Curry, 5.4K versus Detroit. I don't love this game at all. I want to fade this game, like I told you. But with that said, he's relatively safe, and he's cheaper than Wes Matthews. So if you do want to use a Dallas guy in cash games, I don't mind Seth Curry, I guess. I mentioned Gary Harris. He's just frustrating. It's just if this was a five-game slate, I might do it. I just don't want to go. I don't think I want to go this route in a 14-game slate. It's just, man, watching Denver play, he's like the ninth option. I mean, they have so many guys, so many offensive talents. And to make matters worse, Gary Harris contributes nothing else besides shooting, really. He's not rebounding like Will Barton is. He's not initiating offense. He just stands in a corner. So, like, I don't want to play him right now. I do like the price. So it's like for cash games, it's not a terrible play, but it's again, if it's five game slate, maybe. KCP, this price is intriguing, man. He's 4.9K. It's dirt fucking cheap. I didn't mean to swear, but I just did because I got really excited when I saw his price. He's Magic Mountain, so he could give you five FanDuel points or 50, but that's how you take down a tournament. So I won't use him in cash probably, but tournaments, I love that play. Love is strong because it's against Dallas, but I like it. But then you got Nick Young, Courtney Lee, Redick, Tyreek Evans, Middleton, LeVert, Stauskas. You got all these guys down here, but because of the slate, I don't feel the need to force it in cash games. Small forward, LeBron's 11.3K. On a back-to-back. I don't think he's going to pay off that price tag. I think he's probably going to get you around 50. Is that going to be enough on this slate? I don't know. To win a GPP? Probably not. He played 40 minutes on Tuesday. And granted, as I told you, he rests half of those. So he's probably playing only like 20 real minutes. I've heard some whispers Ty Lue is going to start resting him a little bit. I don't know. But he's safe for any format you want, I guess. I might start treating him like I do Westbrook and Harden. Maybe 15%, but he doesn't have nearly the upside those guys have. So maybe I'll have like 10% LeBron in this slate. Maybe 15 just because he does get the extra usage without Kyrie Irving. But that's really expensive for him. Kevin Durant, tournaments only. Kawhi, 9.9K. He's been great. He's been kind of under-owned the last few times. To me, I mean, I think he's a safer cash game play than LeBron. And you're saving 1.4K. So it sounds weird, but man, and the thing I love the most about Kawhi, I think he took like 27 shots last time out. So Kawhi, to me, he doesn't have a tremendous upside. I mean, it's tough to see him hitting like 6-7 times value, but I find it very hard for him to kill your lineup. To me, he's the epitome of cash game play right now. Paul George, I know he's killed us all this year numerous times. He's cost me a lot of money. He just played Cleveland last week and put up 44 against them. LeBron, I want to attack LeBron, so I'll play Paul George on this slate. I probably won't do it in cash games, but I will do it in tournaments. I'll probably have a stack of this game as well with LeBron and Paul George, my two forwards. He should be able to put up 50 FanDuel points against LeBron. Carmelo, tournaments only. Wiggins, I mean, Wiggins has been so good. It's hard to argue that he can't be cash game viable at this point, except that his price keeps rising. But now he gets Denver, and this is probably my favorite game of the night to attack. So to me, Wiggins is – it's hard to – if you don't want to pull the trigger in cash, I get it. But single entry tournaments and GPPs, he's an elite play right now. And if you do play Wiggins, I do recommend you play Rubio with him because Rubio is going to get him a lot of assists. And the same with Towns. I love teaming up Rubio with a Wiggins and Rubio with a Towns. Gordon Hayward, more of a cash game play for me because he doesn't crush value. You know, if he has a good game, he gets you around 40. And remember, for tournaments, I want a guy who's going to get me 7, 8, 9 times value. So Hayward's fine. I don't get it super excited about it. Covington, not a guy I'm going to use in cash right now, although it's a borderline cash game play, but a really good tournament play because if he's making a shot, he can give you 40, 50 FanDuel points. He can get you 7, 8 times value. Like when I envision winning GPP lineups, can I see a Covington in there? Yeah, I could. Probably not on this slate, but I could. Harrison Barnes, the opposite. Do I envision Harrison Barnes in a winning GPP lineup? Hell no. But is he a safer? Is he a nice, safe, boring play for cash games? Sure. Jay Crowder, 6.1K. Another guy. You want to use him in cash games? Fine. He'll stumble and bumble into 20, 25 FanDuel points. But for tournaments, it's super hard for me to envision him being in a winning lineup. Marcus Morris. He intrigues me a little bit. He does have upside. So to me, I think he's safe for all formats. I really do. Even though it's against Dallas and I want to avoid this game, if there's one piston I would use for any format, as weird as it is to say, it'd probably be Marcus Morris right now. Ariza, tournaments only. And remember, I team him up with Harden because I think Harden assists Ariza on like – I forgot what the percentage is, but it's like, you know, out of all the people who make threes in the league, the Harden-Ariza combo is like the third highest in terms of percentage player to the guy who makes the three-pointer. And God, did I explain that poorly. But hopefully you got my drift. So probably tournaments only, though, for Ariza. And yes, I know I'm going to get – I can already see all the tweets, but you look at the game logs, Ariza, why can't he be used for cash? All right, yes. Ariza is a weird player for me because he goes in streaks for like weeks at a time where he does become cash game viable. Now, a lot of, he was doing some of this though when Eric Gordon was out. So if Eric Gordon is back, to me, if this was a 5-6 game slate, I would probably think Ariza's fine for cash. I will probably only use him in tournaments. But can you use him in cash? Yeah, I guess he's still cheap enough. That price is cheap. If he was 6K, it'd be a little too expensive. So you're right. I don't mind him for cash. All right. So all the trolls out there, bam! I beat you to the punch. I overruled myself. You can do Ariza for cash. MKG, similar to a guy like Robertson, right? I just don't feel the need to do it on this slate. And if I did, it would be in cash and not in tournament. Matt Barnes, that one you could throw in a tournament. Against Golden State, the Bays is the epitome of a tournament guy. He's 4.9K. He could give you 30 pretty easily, and that's what, 6 times value. So, and he's he's not safe for cash, but he's relatively safe if Cephalos is out. Beasley, this is a tough one because I want to pull the trigger and say he's safe for all formats, but it's a 14 game slate, and I'm in Paris, so I can't say that. But I love him for single entry tournaments. single entry and GPPs. Against Brooklyn, I mean, we saw what he could do last game. He can give you 50, he can give you 30 actual points. And the Bucks need scoring. So he's in an elite spot. Then he got some bums. Harkless, Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, TJ Warren against the Lakers. I will use TJ Warren again in tournaments because, look, he gave me 3 FanDuel points last game. 3 in 26 minutes. It's disgusting. But that's the risk that I'm willing to take. And I will – because, what, less than a week ago, he gave me 35 FanDuel points. And if he gives me 35 at that salary, that could be enough to win a tournament. Aaron Gordon, I'm a little nervous. Is Kawhi going to be guarding him? I don't know. Hopefully he'll play the 4 now for Orlando, so he won't play – Kawhi will not be guarding him. So I'll use a little bit of him now. Remember, they traded Ibaka. One of the reasons they did, they want to see more of Aaron Gordon. So I will use a little of him on this slate. He is cheap. Then you got Bogdanović, Robertson, Damari Carroll, blah, blah, blah. Brandon Ingram intrigues me for tournaments. He's 3.8K at Phoenix. If there's one guy Luke Walton's going to give minutes to, it's going to be Brandon Ingram. Now, he didn't on Tuesday, but he could. Power forward, Jokic. Jokic is 11K, and he's the greatest player in the world. I love Jokic. I mean, I'm in love with him. If you watch him play, he's so fun to watch. I mean, he does everything. He can bring the ball up the court. He can initiate offense. He gets rebounds. I mean, his body is so big, but he also has finesse. He's basically like Marc Gasol on steroids because he's got some quickness to him. He's got some agility. He's really crafty around the basket, and he can shoot it like a 15, 16 footer. So there's nothing he can't do on the court right now. And Towns playing Minnesota is a really bad defender. With that said, he's freaking expensive. So he's 11K. He's more expensive than Anthony Davis. I mean, like the last game against Golden State, he was phenomenal. He put up 17 points, 21 rebounds, and 12 assists. I'm not making that up. And that was only 59 FanDuel points. So this is the problem with real life and DFS, right? So, like, he would basically have to do that on a consistent basis to pay off that price tag. That's tough to do. So do I envision him having a really good game? I do. Do I envision him being able to pay off that 11K price tag? Man, it's going to be so hard. So I'll find a way to play him, but I didn't want to be yet. On a 14-game slate, I mean, if I play him, remember that it's not only playing him. What does it do to the rest of my lineup? Then I'll be forced to play a couple bums. FanDuel did a good job of pricing him up because it makes it tough to roster him. Anthony Davis versus Memphis, tournaments only. Blake Griffin. See, so Blake Griffin is a 1.2K cheaper than Jokic. Now, could he have more FanDuel points than Jokic against an Atlanta team? Sure. I mean, if I had to put the odds on that, I'd probably put it pretty close, right? I mean, I'd probably put it at, what, 50-50 and who gets more FanDuel points or DraftKings points? So give me the savings. So for cash games, I might prefer Blake, quite honestly. Draymond Green, bleh. I mean, man, I used him a couple nights. Was it, what, Monday, Tuesday against in that 240 over-under with Denver at Golden State? He crapped the bet on me. That was fun. How about that game, though? How about Denver blowing out Golden State? Who saw that coming? Not me. Millsap, 8.1K. It's just tough to get excited about him on a 14-game slate. This game intrigues me a little bit. I think everyone's gonna overlook this game. And you can attack Atlanta at the guard position. So I like Austin Rivers. I like the Millsap Blake Griffin combination of using both of them and having like a mini game stack here. So I don't mind it for tournaments. Millsap, Porzingis 6.8K. I will every freaking day. I will continue to play one lineup at least in tournaments of Porzingis because he's like regressed a little bit. I'm not sure how much has to do with the Carmelo situation or what's going on in New York right now, but he still has upside. He still could give me the 6, 7, 8 times out the value that I'm looking for to take down a tournament. So will I do it in cash? No, but will I do it in tournaments? Yeah, against OKC. Yeah, I mean, who's going to be guarding him? Sabonis. So yeah, I'd like that play for tournaments. James Johnson, I mean, he's in an elite spot for him. He's super athletic, and now he gets a fast-paced game against Ryan Anderson in Houston. So, man, like, I don't know why Spoelstra won't just pull the trigger and start him. Like, wasting any time to get Babbitt minutes is a crime against humanity. So, to me, James Johnson is safe for any format. He's overpriced, but I'm going to take a risk and play him a lot on this slate against Houston. Then he got Frank Kaminsky. Wow. So Frank Kaminsky's price check was good job, FanDuel. So if Zeller's out, Kaminsky's been really good offensively. And so now he's almost 6K. He's 5.8K. To me, at that price, not a lot of upside. So do I love it now? No. You can make an argument for it in cash. But on a 14-game slate, it feels forced. Dirk, whatever, you know, against Detroit. More of a cash game guy than a tournament play for me, because a good game for him was going to be, what, 30, 35 FanDuel points? So I don't love it for tournaments. Cash games, okay, I guess. The gravy man, Julius Randle, tournaments only. Nerlens Noel, he's been awesome. So I love this play, any format you want. I wish he'd get more minutes. But he's 5.6K, very fair price. You can attack Boston bigs. So give me Noel any format you want. Gorgui Dieng, I'm not sure what Minnesota is going to do. A part of me thinks that they're going to go – I guess it depends what Denver does too, right? Is Denver going to play Plumlee a lot of minutes? Are they going to – how banged up are they? Are they going to play – is Wilson Chandler going to play? If Wilson Chandler plays, are they going to play him at the four? So – I'm not sure if Thibodeau is going to give Gorgui Dieng a lot of minutes against Denver. He'll be in play for me because I do love that game. And the last three, four games, Gorgui Dieng's minutes have started to get better because they were a yo-yo. They were up and down for a while. So he's right now at that price, this matchup, safe for all formats. But I'm a tad bit nervous because 2 weeks ago he was not safe for cash. A week ago he wasn't safe for cash. Tobias Harris, probably tournaments only. Ilyasova, him and Saric are the same price. The problem is Saric has been better, and Saric is basically getting more minutes, even though Ilyasova has been starting. So right now, you got to go Saric, and Saric is fine for any format you want right now. He's a monster, and you get Boston. Even on a 14-game slate, you could do a Saric-Noel. Would I recommend doing that? Probably not, because it's hard to see both of them having monster games, and on this slate, you're going to need to put up a big score to win. But I think they'll both have good games. They'll both hit value. Then you got Marvin Williams, David Lee. You got French Fry. Will I play French Fry on Wednesday? Maybe in one or two lineups I will, but I mean, we'll see. Against Toronto, against Indiana. I mean, is Cleveland going to go big against Indiana? I don't know. So, I'm not using French Fry in cash games. Tournaments only for me. Ryan Anderson, he's so dirt cheap. I will absolutely play some James Harden with Anderson in tournaments. Although, man, Anderson's been really bad lately. Jamichael Green's dirt cheap. You got Hernan Gomez down here at 4K. If we do find out he gets the start again, how could you not play him at that price? If you watch any of that game, you saw someone that's just – I mean, watching him and Jokic together was like watching two men and Will – throw Will Barton in there. It was also watching a three-man tango. I mean, it was just – man, it just oozed sex. Sex appeal, sex appeal, sex appeal. They all were phenomenal. It was just amazing. And Hernan Gomez, the thing about him, he was so fluid. It looked like the game was in slow motion for him, which for a young guy who really hasn't started, I think, ever, and who played 43 minutes, he can shoot the three, he can go inside, he's athletic, I mean, he's quicker than I thought. So, I mean, I was so impressed with his game. Now, do I expect him to give you 50 DraftKings points and 45 FanDuel points? No, but FanDuel should have jacked up his price. I bet you DraftKings did. So if he starts, if Wilson Chandler's out again, I will gladly use him in any format I want. If Wilson Chandler's back, obviously he takes a big hit. But like Denver has to find a way to get him minutes going forward. Like now it makes sense why they got rid of Nurkic. Like Hernangómez is a monster. The Hernangómez brothers, how about them? Man, they could be dominating the league soon. Ed Davis, even though it's against Utah, I don't mind that for tournaments. He's 3.8K. I think he's going to keep getting like 24 minutes, and that if he gets that many minutes, he's always a fantasy point per minute monster. Marquise Chris, nice little sneaky tournament play down here, 3.7K. He can give you 40 FanDuel points, so don't mind that for tournaments. I won't touch it in cash. All right, center. So you got Cousins, 11.1K. Against Golden State, I mean, we saw what Jokic – I mean, if Jokic can destroy Golden State, Cousins should be able to too. Golden State gives up like the third most offensive rebounds. It is a back-to-back though. Also, Denver is so much more talented than Golden State. Sacramento has no talent besides Cousins. So very hard to see this game staying close. Tournaments only. Towns, I can't wait to watch this Minnesota-Denver game and see watch Towns and Jokic go at it because – Jokic will struggle defending Towns. I'm a little nervous about Jokic getting into foul trouble too. Towns will take him out on the perimeter. Another guy super fun to watch. Crazy. I mean, he's so skilled on the perimeter. He can take threes, take you down low. So expensive. Don't think I can do it in cash games, but I will have a Towns Jokic stack and stack this Minnesota Denver game. Whiteside, 8.8K. I mean, on paper, he should obliterate Houston and grab every rebound. That's on paper. In real life, he whines about getting rebounds, and he's a malcontent. So, tournaments only. Drummond, Dallas is like the worst rebounding team in the NBA. So, again, another guy on paper, if he can stay awake during the course of a game, a good play. But the problem is he just – he doesn't show up half the time. It's just a super frustrating guy to own. And he's expensive now. He's not cheap. So I don't think I want to use him in cash. Marc Gasol. Now, to me, he will not be asleep. He'll be awake during the game. I don't mind him for cash on this slate. The price is fair. I like his usage rate. And the Pelicans, another team, they cannot defend big men. So he's in a really good spot. Rudy Gobert. I love attacking Portland bigs, but he just hasn't been, I don't know. He hasn't been paying off for me lately. So he'll be like 4% owned, if that helps you out. So DeAndre Jordan is him and Dwight Howard that are up against each other. It's basically like two clones who couldn't score. And if you left them alone in a gym and they were playing one-on-one, if you left them for like 10 hours, you came back, the score would be like 2-1. I mean, there'd be lots of rebounds, but there'd be no scoring. So whatever. I don't feel the need to play either of them, quite honestly. Although I guess I'd prefer Dwight because Dwight's a little bit cheaper. I guess. I don't know. Vucevic versus Spurs. I don't like attacking San Antonio big men. Al Horford. I mean, Al Horford is 6.8K. He's, you know, I know he hasn't been rebounding lately. And he's further and further from the hoop. Probably don't want to use him in cash. It's dirt cheap, though. And people have been destroying Philadelphia big. So I'm going to use him in a couple tournaments. Greg Monroe, the price is skyrocketing because he had like one good game against Brooklyn. So you can use him in tournaments. I wouldn't do it in cash. I guess he had two good games. Sorry. Miles Turner. I will continue to use Miles Turner in tournaments. I won't touch him in cash games because it's way too risky. He's Magic Mountain. But he's a nice tournament guy. He is one of those guys who can give you 6, 7, 8 times value. And he's playing the Triscuit. And the Triscuit should not be able to defend him. Now, I know I said this about a week ago. And then Miles Turner put up – what do you do? 23 FanDuel points, which is not going to be good enough. You know, between Triscuit and Turner, Triscuit's the safer cash game play. And Turner will be the guy I would look to in tournaments. And Steven Adams against the Knicks. I think he should be safe for all formats against the Knicks. Not sexy, but he'll find a way to get you 20, maybe 30 against the Knicks, maybe 35. Knicks are really bad defending centers. Valanciunas, I mean, Dwayne Casey will find a way to destroy him. I love attacking Charlotte bigs. He's going to be like 6% owned. You know, tournaments only. The other Hernan Gomez, the guy for the Knicks. I don't like attacking Steven Adams, so I don't love this play. And also, he's expensive, so not the best day to play the other Hernan Gomez brother. But you can do it in a tournament if you want. Clint Capella, to me, I don't mind Capella. I think he's safe for all formats at that price, 5.2K. Whiteside's really bad defensively, so he'll get you 25, 35 FanDuel points. Dead Man Walking is still down here. Dead Man Walking is a tournament play for the Spurs. He's starting for them. Last two games I used him didn't work out, 21 and 15. The game before that, though, he had 40. So he can give you like 10 times value, and that screams tournament play. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. It's freaking 5:16 in the morning. Dear God, I'm exhausted. All right. Woo, got to get to bed. This is going to be a fun slate. It's going to be overwhelming. So remember, you are the CEO of your lineups. Make choices. You're going to have to make decisions. Sometimes that can be the hardest part about NBA DFS because it's constantly changing. We're getting news all throughout the course of the day. But the earlier in the day you can make a choice, find some guys. Do after you do your research, pick the guys that you like, pick the games that you like. And remember, you're the CEO, so just make a decision and stick with it, and don't get overwhelmed with the 14 games, which is easier said than done. All right, any questions? Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Otherwise, I hope you achieved glory in the bedroom and on the basketball court in DFS on Tuesday. And I hope you achieved glory on this 14-game bonanza Wednesday. For me and the bailiff, court is – and from Perry, court is adjourned. My gavel's broke. I can't even – let me try again. Court is adjourned.